The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he had named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon who was called a Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Here, our first reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians are some words that you probably heard many, many times, but I never bothered to explain to you. He says, and you might find this helpful. He says, brothers and sisters, you're no longer strangers and sojourners. You're fellow citizens of the Holy Ones and members of the household of God. A little explanation for that. You see, before Jesus Christ, if you were to go to the land of Israel, you know, the land of the chosen people, the best you could be is a resident alien or a foreigner or a tourist. There's one thing for certain: you didn't belong there. You weren't a citizen and you weren't part of the family. You're an outsider. So what St. Paul is saying right here to the Ephesians is that because of your baptism, now all that's changed. You are two things: your citizens and your family members. Think about your membership in the church in those terms. You're a citizen and you're a family member. You can go a long way with that image. One's visible, one's invisible. One's public, one's private. Okay, so visibly, right, we belong to this visible church. It's not just like a little private me and Jesus kind of relationship in which the rest of you guys just get out of my way, right? Because I want to get to my Jesus. That's not the way we are. We're members of a church. It's visible. We got a pope. We got bishops. We got priests. We got pastors. We got parishes. We got dioceses. All those things. Okay, that's visible. Invisibly, though, we don't stop. Just with the visible. We are brothers and sisters, right? Mystically, spiritually. That's why I start every homily by saying, good morning, brothers and sisters. And not just with those of us here on earth, but with the saints in heaven. You got friends in high places. Invisibly, of course, but just as real. Visibly, there's lots of things that we have to do. We have to receive sacraments, and we have to go to holy days, and you have to have things like tithes and bishop's Lenten appeals, and there's fun things like candles and smells and bells, all that, right? All visible. And then there's the invisible reality of your relationship to God and to one another that's sustained by invisible grace. And the idea is that everything that you do invisibly should make a visible difference. Everything we do privately should be able to be seen publicly in the way we live and the way we love. They'll know we are Christians by our love, because if you can't see it visibly, I got news for you. What you're doing invisibly is off kilter. Okay? So Jesus, in the gospel, he goes up on the mountaintop to pray, which is a private, individual, mystical relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and he chooses these visible apostles, okay, to go out and visibly preach and make an invisible difference in people's lives so that it would make a visible difference all across the world. And of course, today, as you know, we celebrate two of those apostles, Saint Simon and Jude. And you will kindly forgive me if I ignore Saint Simon today and just focus on our very own Saint Jude. Somewhere out there, there's a Saint Simon parish, and they're ignoring Saint Jude, and we balance each other out, okay? So it's all good. But St. Jude, if you want to find St. Jude, remember all of our apostles are here in our altar. You can see in the relic. St. Jude, if you can think of our relic query as like the face of a clock, St. Jude is right about 3:30, 4 o'clock on the dial. So you can take a little look at maybe after Mass and offer a prayer. But there's very little we know about St. Jude. Very, very little. It's about the only thing we know about St. Jude is that he was a martyr. But no one's sure when he was martyred, or no one's sure where, or no one's sure how. Some people say that he was clubbed. Some people say that he was hatcheted. Some people say that it was in Armenia. Some people say that it was in Beirut. No one's quite sure. They say he preached in Lebanon and Mesopotamia and Syria. But the one thing that everyone loves about St. Jude is that he's known publicly as the patron saint of impossible causes. Everybody loves that because it tells us so much about who God is. God is the one we turn to when everything in life seems hopeless and impossible. Two reasons why they call St. Jude the patron saint of impossible causes, hopeless causes. One is that he bears the same name as Judas Iscariot. Okay? And Judas Iscariot, when all seemed hopeless, abandoned hope. But St. Jude, when all seemed hopeless, maintained his hope. He's known as Jude Thaddeus. You know what Thaddeus means? It's a nickname. It means brave heart. St. Jude the Brave. It's a very apt name for St. Jude. That's one reason why they call him the patron saint of hopeless causes. The other is his letter. St. Jude is the author of the shortest letter in the New Testament, the epistle that bears his name. And in that epistle, there's a line. And it says, persevere through the hardships as your forefathers did. Persevere and never lose hope. That's why St. Jude is known as the patron saint of hopeless causes. And hopelessness is something that happens when we forget about God. And that's why it's so apt a reminder. You get people who, they're not even Catholic. They're not even Christian. And they love St. Jude because everybody knows that, you know, when your chips are down and you got no place left to turn, God is your last hope. So can I just give you one tiny little word here this morning about maintaining hope in the face of hopelessness? Just one tiny little word. Just make sure that God is the object of your hope. God is the only proper object of hope. Everything God gives you in this life that's visible, things like finances and health and reputation and family, everything else, things like parishes and buildings, everything God gives you in this life that's visible is meant to lead you to himself. What's invisible? Everything he gives you on earth, he gives you to get you to heaven. If you forget that, you'll lose hope. Okay, so the proper object of your hope is God. If you make the proper object of your hope your finances, right? I don't care about God a lick, just God straighten out my bank account, right? If you make the proper object of your hope your health, God, you're a means to an end, just make me healthy again. If you make the proper object of your hope your reputation or your popularity or your golf swing or anything else, okay, your hope is misplaced. Only God is the proper object of hope. If you hope in your own strength, you will lose hope. If you hope in human institutions, you will lose hope. I have no hope in the Washington Redskins. They're hopeless. Okay? I give up. Don't hope in human institutions or in anything visible. But understand this, God gives you what's visible to lead you to what's invisible. Only God is the proper object for your hope. If you remember that, you'll never lose hope. I love this. St. Paul says to the Thessalonians that hope is a helmet. That's what he calls hope, a helmet. Protects your head. Keeps you sane. Right? We want to remember that. I think I would lose my mind in this insane world if I forgot for one moment that no matter how crazy things are going on all around the world, God always gets the last word. Keep your hope in him. That's all you need to be at peace. And let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Simon and Jude, pray for us.